From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Kayla DeRoche. Coming up this week, some Kodiak jig fishermen are turning to a Sitka-based community-supported fishery to make a profit in light of the cut to cod quota. Also at Kodiak's commercial fisheries trade show, Comfish, Mike Litzo with the University of Alaska Fairbanks College of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences talks about the effect of global warming on fish in Alaska waters. That's coming up on this week's Alaska Fisheries Report.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their families. AMSEA at AMSEA.org or 907-747-3287.
Kodiak processors and fishermen are seeing the effects of the 80% cut to cod quota in the Gulf of Alaska. Some small boat fishermen who previously relied on targeting cod are turning to other means to make a profit. One way to do that is to join a community-supported fishery, or CSF. That's what some Kodiak jig fishermen are doing to bolster their incomes. KMXC dropped by St. Herman Harbor and visited one fisherman on his vessel, the Morona, to find out more. Jig fisherman Darius Kasperzak holds up a scrap piece of iron from World War II. He says he picked it up off a beach and uses it as a weight for his line.
When people are making money cod fishing, you just buy lead weights, but those days are over.
Kasperzak is the president of the Alaska Jig Association and says, like him, a lot of jig fishermen used to make the bulk of their income off cod. And with the decline of cod, he says he's seen the association drop from around 40 members to 15 or 16. Kasperzak says where he once harvested rockfish in the summer to diversify his catch, it's now his target species. And he says he's been pulling in fewer rockfish just recently.
We can no longer continue to do business on a volume-orientated business model because the volume just isn't there anymore. You have to get paid more for less fish. It's the only way we can remain in business.
Kasperzak describes a careful process of ensuring the rockfish remains fresh from sea to dock. The goal is to emphasize quality over quantity.
You know, when you held the finished sample in your hands, it's like a piece of ivory soap. It's just white and clear. There's no bruising. There's no gapping.
That's the kind of quality people in the lower 48 are willing to pay for. At least that's what some jig fishermen are banking on. Kasperzak, along with a handful of other fishermen, are selling rockfish to Sitka Salmon Shares, a direct-to-consumer group that markets fresh, sustainably caught product to customers in the Midwest. The organization is also working with a couple of processors around Kodiak, like Global Seafoods. Plant manager Nick Morozov says Global Seafoods had the space available to accommodate the group.
And then we just, in general, didn't want to turn down the small guys in town, and so we decided to take on a project.
And he says with the 80% cut to cod quota this year, it also provides his employees with extra work.
So anything that we could plug up into the empty space there would help. It gives them at least extra couple of hours here and there.
Right now, Sitka Salmon Shares business is not a moneymaker. Morozov says they're breaking even, and they'd like more fishermen and a bigger harvest to make a profit. Ryan Horwath is the Kodiak fleet manager for Sitka Salmon Shares and calls their 4 to 6 fishermen a happy number of participants for the group at this point. But Horwath hopes there could be room to grow in the future.
If we can fill these orders, these early orders, then they are talking about expanding their business to include more species from Kodiak.
He says Sitka Salmon Shares is buying more rockfish out of Kodiak this year after a preliminary purchase in 2017. That's good news for fishermen targeting rockfish. Horwath says Sitka Salmon Shares offers vessels around $1 a pound for the fish, which is at least twice the profit Kodiak jig fishermen would usually make on rockfish, if not more. And while Horwath is optimistic about getting other processors involved, he says companies may give priority to more profitable operations. Breaking even might not be enough in the long run. In Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche. The Alaska Fisheries Report reached out to Marsh Steele, the vice president and co-founder of Sitka Salmon Shares, to learn more about the organization. He elaborated on how Sitka Salmon Shares works and how it got started.
I sent some fish down to a friend of mine who had gotten a teaching job in central Illinois at a university there. And then in the following year, 2012, is when the company was actually formed, and we did some more fish and added some more fishermen.
Okay, and so what does the organization do?
So we take fish from our fishermen owners. So all the fishermen are like our own part of our of Sitka Salmon Shares, and we take their catch and we deliver it to people's homes in the Midwest, and now we can reach a little bit further out into the East Coast as well. So it's traceable, it's mostly hook and line, sustainable, and we think we can do a better job of getting people fish in the Midwest and pay the fishermen more.
Where are you located out of right now?
We have a fish plant in Sitka where we fillet and freezer fish, and then we have a few hubs in the Midwest where we do farmers markets and we deliver our own fish. So we do deliveries out of them. We have a few hubs in the Midwest, one in Chicago, one in Madison, and one in central Illinois.
As I understand it, you guys are reaching out to Kodiak jig fishermen now who are going after rockfish. Could you talk a little bit about how you get community involvement like you are in Kodiak right now?
We're really excited because rockfish was a fish that I've grown up catching and loving, and people in the Midwest liked it, but there's not, in Southeast Alaska, at least previously, there was more economic opportunity fishing salmon and doing other things, so not many people targeted them. And through our kind of partnership with Alaska Marine Conservation Council, we found these guys, Kodiak Jig, who were knew how to catch these fish in pretty good numbers, and the quality was awesome, and we could really offer them a market that, you know, at a scale that really worked for them. So it kind of, for us, it's really a win-win, finding small boat hook and line fishermen that need a marketplace and can deliver really good fish. So we had one of Ryan Horwath of Kodiak Jig, he actually bought in to be one of our fisherman owners, and he's kind of early in my career, I was kind of organized the first of the fishermen to sell the Sitka Salmon Shares in Sitka, and Ryan is kind of doing a similar thing in Kodiak, where he's fishing himself as well as organizing all the other fishermen and making sure that their catch can be filleted and frozen. And so this year, we're really going at full scale, trying to get the rockfish coming out of Kodiak in January through kind of April. We're buying a whole container of fish, so we're buying more fish. So instead of just flying small loads here and there, we're buying a whole container this year.
Okay, how much?
We're trying to get 30,000 pounds of outweight fillets. So that's like 100,000 pounds of incoming weight rockfish.
What happens to the rockfish once the Kodiak fishermen catch it and deliver it to your representative?
We pack it up into 5-pound boxes, and then so one of our months is rockfish, dusky and black rockfish, and then we home deliver that to people in the Midwest and East Coast. So we drop it off on their doorstep on dry ice with a newsletter of who the Kodiak jig guys are, recipes, kind of how the fish are caught, how the jigs work, so they understand more of the fishery.
That was Marsh Steele, the vice president and co-founder of Sitka Salmon Shares, talking about the organization and how it markets Alaska fish to customers in the lower 48.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund.
And by
the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
At Kodiak's Commercial Fisheries Trade Show Confish, Mike Litza with the University of Alaska Fairbanks talked about the effect of global warming on fish in Alaska waters. Here's an excerpt of his lecture.
Globally, as the Earth warms up, if you look at plants, if you look at butterflies, if you look at birds, certainly if you look at land mammals, they're all moving from, their ranges are moving from the equators, from the equator towards the poles. Everything's moving poleward as the world moves up. And there's any number of studies that have shown this. And it's true of fish and crustaceans, too. And there's this great, I don't know if it's great, but very obvious example now in the Bering Sea. So this is a map of the Bering Sea in the bottom left here. And that box is around Norton Sound and the northern Bering Sea. And then we're looking at a couple of climate time series at the top there. Input from the Yukon River over time, and then sea surface temperatures over time, again, related to some reference point. And so you can see particularly in sea surface temperature, you see this clear trend, and then the big, huge jump during the warm anomaly. They've warmed up much more than we have. They're up 2 degrees above what used to be normal. So you see this tremendous perturbation to the climate. And then we don't have a good handle on the fisheries resources there because there's not much in the way of fisheries there, you know, because within all of our lifetimes, it was way too cold to support any meaningful populations of certainly groundfish that we could exploit commercially. So NOAA surveyed that area in 2010 and surveyed again this summer in 2017. So scientists are always tremendously leery of any situation that's based on two data points. You know, we're like, okay, that's interesting but not conclusive. But the magnitude of change over those 7 years is really fairly jaw-dropping, where if you compare 2017 biomass to 2010 biomass, walleye biomass in that northern area went up 6,000%. Pecod biomass in that area went up 900%. Arctic cod, the northern gadded, went down 90%. So in 7 years, that's a really remarkable change. And this, you know, if you, I am like professionally not, and it's just by my constitution, not a doom and gloomer, and you can always look for a bright side, right? And so this is potentially a bright side, you know, where Arctic waters are warming up, northern Bering Sea waters are warming up. There's a tremendous sort of social and legal landscape to navigate for developing fisheries up there, conservation questions about developing fisheries up there, a lot of potential for conflict with subsistence users in the region. But it is a situation where we see this tremendous increase in potentially commercially important biomass in an area that's warming up. Okay, and so this part, this sort of second impact for fisheries is something that's really close to my heart, and I've spent a lot of my career working on it. It's this idea of regime shifts. And that, like, the simplest way to explain that is that, especially in a small area, like the Gulf of Alaska, small, or the Bering Sea, the climate isn't changing smoothly. You know, it's not this gradual trend. It's this series of jumps up and down, right? That's how the change is expressed. And those jumps up and down can have tremendous implications for the ecosystem and for fisheries. So the best studied one and the biggest one in all of our lifetimes was this 1976-1977 temperature shift, which was a natural event in the Gulf of Alaska, right? And what happened is we jumped up about a degree and then we stayed warm, right? We've had a few excursions down lower, but you can see the average temperature really stayed warm. And this event just changed fisheries in Kodiak tremendously and overnight, really. So prior to 76, 77, this was a crab and shrimp town, you know. And then what happened is our best understanding in a really simplified way is you warmed up inshore waters enough for pecod to live, and they moved in and vacuumed up shrimp. And you had this really rapid change. That's a real sort of cartoon understanding, but it's a basic understanding of what happened. And you had this tremendously quick change from shrimp and crab keeping this town going to cod and halibut and salmon also boomed at the same time. And so it's this example where no one saw this coming in 1974 or 1975, when we suddenly warmed up and everything flipped in this town.
That was Mike Galitzo with UAF talking about the effect of climate change on fish in Alaska.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And that's all for this week's Alaska Fisheries Report. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Kayla DeRoche.